Nick Suberling. I am from Cincinnati, Ohio. Aprende inglés gratis con manchinginglés.com y inglespodcast.com.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 59 of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
And I guess that means I'm Reza.
I guess that means you're Reza. And if you're listening to us for the first time, welcome. Today we're going to help you, as always, grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary and perfect your pronunciation. With over 40 years of experience between us, we're going to improve your English and take it to the next level. In this episode, vocabulary, word formation, those changes in words from adjectives to nouns to verbs to adverbs with prefixes and suffixes. But first, some listener feedback from Ricardo Fica, who says, "Hi Craig, how are you and Reza? Here in Chile, we are freezing. The temperatures have been decreasing last time, but we are all fine." Last time?
Hold on, last time. Doesn't he mean recently?
I think so. Or lately. Recently or lately. "Last night, while I was returning home by subway, I was listening to episode 48, and you read my message that I wrote you by email." That's inglespodcast.com/48. "It was funny because I started laughing and the people put their eyes on me."
Put their eyes on me is not the right expression.
What would you say?
People stared at me.
Or, yeah, people started looking at me. People stared at me. "I realize you have known many countries and cities in the world. Due to my job, SAP consultant, S-A-P, what? I haven't had the opportunity to travel a lot." Do you know what a SAP consultant is?
No.
"Well, I didn't, so I checked on the internet, and SAP, S-A-P, started in Germany in 1972 by 5 ex-IBM employees. SAP says that it is the world's largest inter-enterprise software company." So the original name for SAP was Systemanwendungen Produkte. That's my German accent. It means systems, applications, and products. So it's a German multinational software corporation that makes enterprise software to manage business operations and customer relations. And it's really, really big, Reza. It has more than 291,000 customers in 190 countries.
Wow.
It's impressive.
Big multinational.
So now we know what SAP is. So Ricardo is a SAP employee.
Of course, there's another type of SAP, the liquid which comes out of trees.
That's right. That sticky, gummy liquid is tree SAP.
SAP.
He says, "In Chile, we only have 15 days of vacations, 15 business days, and you will understand that it's quite complicated to make long travels."
To go on long journeys.
Or make long trips. Go on long trips in the world. Yeah. And he also wrote some notes for us to keep in mind from Chile. He says, "Mapuches with a U, not Mapuches. Mapuches are animals." "Mapuches are from the region of Araucania, where I come from. And I also made a mistake of saying San Pedro de la Atacama. And as Ricardo says, it's San Pedro de Atacama. So I apologize. And he speaks about the Merkin. That was you, Reza. You spoke about the Merkin. He says it's excellent. It's very useful for everything. And it's made by the Mapuches.
Mapuches.
It's the red, the smoked red pepper.
That's right.
Cacho de cabra, apparently. And he asks us if we know about the famous Indio Picaro. No, Indio Picaro. If not, please search on Google. It's also made by the Mapuches.
Oh, I must look that up.
Do you know what they are?
No. What is it?
The teaser Indian. The Indio Pícaro is the teaser Indian. It's a traditional wooden statuette of a Mapuche Indian with a broad smile. That's a wide smile. And when you lift the body, it shows an erect penis or vagina.
Okay, I have
Guacolda
seen them
or
on TV.
India Picara.
I've seen them on TV. Yeah. I didn't know they were from Chile.
No, yeah, I remember now when he said that. I remember seeing one in some souvenir shops in Chile.
Pues mira, sí, son pícaros, muy pícaros. They're very provocative.
So if you're listening and you don't know what an Indio Pícaro is, I'll put a picture on this blog post.
Oh, is that a good idea to put a picture?
Well, it's only a wooden statue. Okay. I mean, it's not a real, it's not pornography, okay, for heaven's sake. So I don't think people will mind. I'll put a photo at inglespodcast.com/59. We have a question from Powell, the question king, from my now finished FCE class. Hello, Powell. And Powell asked this question: what's the difference between take place, occur, and happen? Reza.
Oh, Powell, you asked some tricky questions.
It's a good question,
isn't
it?
It's a very good question. It's not the first tricky question you've asked.
It's
very
not.
Good question.
He's a question king.
Take place, occur, happen. They're very similar, aren't they? But I wouldn't say they're exactly the same. Would you?
No.
For me, Craig, which is the most formal of the three words?
I'd say occur, O-C-C-U-R, is the most formal of the three. Obviously, take place is a phrasal verb, but I think occur would be used quite often in medical situations, a disease that occurs in certain patients, for example.
Mm-hmm. Or just science in general.
Science in general, yeah.
A scientific word. Although that isn't to say that take place can't be used in formal English. It can, but occur is the most formal. Well, let me see what you think, Craig. This is just my own idea because I tried to find information about this in good books, but to be honest, I couldn't really find anything, pal. So you forced me to think for myself. I would say that take place has two meanings. It can be used for events which are openly planned. I mean openly, in other words, not secretly, or it's public knowledge or something like that. For example, the concert took place last night. Mm-hmm. The conference will take place in the conference hall tomorrow. They are things which are openly planned, okay? But it can also be things which are not openly planned as well. The robbery took place yesterday. Now, robberies are planned, yes, but they're not openly planned.
They'd be planned by a gang of thieves or bank robbers.
So it's a secret that only they know.
In a basement somewhere.
Or the accident took place on the motorway. Obviously, accidents are not planned. Or the assault took place. An assault is when someone is physically hit. So, for me, take place can be openly planned or not openly planned events. Occur, on the other hand, for me, is for things which are not usually openly planned. So again, I could say the accident took place on the motorway, or the accident occurred on the motorway. The robbery took place or occurred. The assault took place or occurred. You could use both. Although, as we said earlier, occurred sounds more formal. That's for things which are not openly planned. Another use of occur, as far as I can see, is for stages or developments. For example, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not a doctor, puberty occurs in girls sooner than in boys. Is that right, Craig? I believe so.
I'd agree with that.
So puberty is a stage of life. It's a development. It's when your body develops. So a stage of development occur. Problems can occur at work. Occur, they're developments, they're things which come up For me, that's the two uses of occur. And happen, for me, can replace both words.
But it's also,
although it's less formal.
But it, yeah, it's less formal. And I also think happen is more to talk about things that happen by chance.
Yes, it's the best word if you want to talk about things happen by chance. Happen's the best word, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Can you give us a few example sentences?
Let me give you three sentences, and then I'll give a gap, and you say which word you think best fits the gap.
Okay.
For example, the disease more frequently in elderly patients.
Occurs is the most
definitely, isn't
suitable
it?
Word.
The disease occurs more frequently in elderly patients. What about this one? Losing weight is the best thing that ever to me.
Ever happened to me.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Because it doesn't sound right to say that ever occurred to me or ever took place. You can't say took place to me.
No. What's more, there's a fixed expression. If something occurs to you, it means to have an idea.
Yeah.
It's just occurred to me that we could do a summer special podcast.
Yeah,
it just occurred to me.
It never occurred to me to turn on the air conditioning.
Yeah. It's a fixed expression.
Exactly.
We don't say it never happened or it never took place. We always say it never occurred to me, meaning I never had the idea before.
I never thought of it. Mm-hmm. One more. Aerobic classes are scheduled to in the community centre every Thursday.
Take place.
I think so. Yeah. You wouldn't say happen because it's planned.
Yes, but more than that, I think you've hit on another aspect, Craig, which I hadn't thought of. But take place is the best expression, particularly if you mention the place, or the place is important because take place, after all.
The place and the schedule. Yeah,
they're going to take place in the community centre. The community centre is the place. So take place is the most natural mm-hmm. of the three.
Absolutely.
I would say, though, that people, native speakers, in bad English, I repeat that, in bad English, very often lazily just say happen.
Yeah.
So.
Especially in conversational English.
This disease happens more in old people than in young people. It's better to say occur, but in lazy, bad English, people will say happen. Or where's the concert going to take place? Where's the concert going to happen? People would say it. It's not great English, but you can hear it.
Where's it happening?
Yeah.
You'd say, yeah, more in conversational English than written English. If you're writing, you'd probably say, where's it taking place? Or yeah. it occurs. Yeah.
Or puberty happens in girls before boys. Again, not the great English, but people would use it, right?
But if you're a doctor or a scientist, then you'd probably use occur. I hope that's helped you, pal. I hope that's answered your question. And keep sending, even though the course has finished and you're not studying with me anymore, please send us your questions, and you have my email address. Moving on to vocabulary. In this episode, we're going to speak about word formation, which is a request from Maria Jose. I don't know where Maria Jose is from, can't remember, but if you're listening, here is what we think about word formation. Prefixes and suffixes, aren't they, Reza? Prefijos and sufijos, is it?
I think it's just prefijo and sufijo.
You're right.
I think so.
Yeah.
In English, prefix and suffix both together are called affixes.
Affixiation.
Yes, they can cause affixiation if you talk about them too much.
So the prefixes go before the word, and examples of prefixes are un, in, and miss, for example. And the prefixes change the meaning of the word. For example, believable becomes unbelievable, the opposite. And examples of suffixes, they come at the end of the word. T-I-O-N, shun, L-Y, li, M-E-N-T, meant. And suffixes change the word class. So there we're changing verbs to nouns, to adjectives, etc.
Can I test you a little bit, Craig?
Test away, my friend.
I'm going to say an adjective, and I want you to put the prefix before the word to make it the opposite meaning.
Okay. Hit me.
Hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick, as Ian Dury said in a famous song.
Hit me with your prefixes.
Hit me slowly. Hit me quick. Hit me. It's a great song, isn't it? Hit me with your rhythm stick. Okay, here we go. Happy.
Unhappy.
Decent.
Indecent.
Legal.
Ill. I-L. Illegal. I-double-L.
Relevant.
I-R. Ear. So irrelevant. Double R.
Understood.
Miss. M-I-S. Misunderstood.
Satisfied.
Dis. D-I-S. Dissatisfied.
So altogether, two S's. Dissatisfied, double S at the beginning, yeah? People forget.
Yep.
Possible.
I-M. Impossible.
Okay. All of those words were adjectives. Can I test you a little bit further, Craig, with suffixes?
Go ahead.
As Craig mentioned earlier, usually suffixes change the type of word, the part of speech, the word class, changing from adjectives to nouns or adjectives to adverbs or adverbs to nouns, whatever. So, Craig, I'm going to say an adjective which we had before. For example, we said happy, unhappy. And you're going to say the noun.
I'm saying the noun.
Okay. So, happy.
Happiness.
And just to show that you can use a prefix and a suffix, what about unhappy?
Unhappiness.
Right. So, listeners, you can have a prefix or a suffix or both in a word. Happy becomes unhappy. Opposite adjectives. The adjective happy becomes the noun happiness. So, therefore, the adjective unhappy becomes the noun unhappiness.
And that's very important to remember, because these word formation, word changes, and the exercises are very common in exams and tests in English. For example, in the first certificate exam, the advanced English exam, it's very common to make these word changes to test your vocabulary. And it's really important to remember there can be two possible changes to the root word, raif.
Well, let's go on with our test, Craig.
Okay, let's go on with our test.
Because this is exactly the sort of thing they test in first certificate exams, for example. So change the adjective to a noun. Some will have prefixes, some will not have prefixes, but I want you to add the suffix to make it a noun. Decent.
Decency.
Illegal.
Legality?
Illegal.
Ah, illegality.
Yes, you need the prefix as well.
You remember, got me there.
In this first certificate, sometimes you need both.
Illegality.
Illegality. Irrelevant.
Irrelevancy.
Yeah, actually, there's two answers. Irrelevancy or irrelevance. Depends on the situation, doesn't it? Understood. Ooh.
Understanding.
Uh-huh. And let's do the opposite now. Misunderstood.
Misunderstanding.
Uh-huh. Dissatisfied.
Dissatisfaction.
Possible. Possible.
Possible or possible?
Possible.
Possibility.
And impossible?
Impossibility.
There you go.
Very well good. Done. Thank you very much. Remember, there are some of these horrible word changes that are really kind of irregular. For example, long as an adjective. What's the noun of long?
Length.
Yeah, careful of the spelling. N-E-N-G-T-H. What about wide?
Width.
With a D, so W-I-D-T-H. High?
Height.
H-E-I-G-H-T.
Careful with the pronunciation, not hate. Hate is audio. Height is altura.
I hate these exercises with height. And profundidad. Deep is the adjective. What's the noun?
Depth.
With a P. D-E-P-T-H. So be careful of those, because they love to test those, especially in the FCE exam.
Craig, I'd like to mention italki.com to our listeners.
What a wonderful idea.
It's a great website where you can find a personal one-to-one teacher at a very low cost. It's great in that you don't have to go anywhere, no travels involved. You just stay at home. All you need is Skype to get connected to the internet. So So you can take lessons anytime, anywhere. You have an internet connection. You can learn from home or while you're traveling. You can focus on pronunciation, speaking, fluency, or whatever you want, because you choose your own teacher. Until you get the teacher who's right for you, you can change teacher. Also, there are no scheduling problems. If you want to learn at 12 o'clock at night, fine, because 12 o'clock at night where you live might be 10 o'clock in the morning somewhere else. In Australia, in America, in Canada, in Ireland.
Or you might have a teacher with kids, and when the kids go to bed, they go on the internet to teach English at 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Another thing is, imagine you need to stop lessons for a couple of weeks because you're going on holiday or you've got too much work. Fine. You won't lose any money with italki.com because you just pay for the lessons you have. So if you can't study for a while, you need to take a break from it. Fine. Then whenever you can, make up the time by, say, having a lesson every day for 2 weeks. It's up to you. You decide the schedule. What's more, if you're a listener to Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig, Italki will give you 100 free Italki credits if you sign up to their paid service by buying 100 credits. So buy one, get one free. To find out more, just go to inglespodcast.com/italki, I-T-A-L-K-I. Craig and I would like to thank Italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig, and we hope that they will be of use to our listeners.
Let's just wrap on a few, if we can wrap on word formation, let's wrap on a few suffixes and try to think of words that finish with M-E-N-T. For example, improvement.
Development.
Government. You see, I've got a list here.
You've got a list. He's got a list. He's cheating. He's got a list. He didn't warn me.
I did my research. Yeah. Enjoyment. Department. Commitment. What about ER, Mr. Teacher?
Exactly. Teacher. Computer.
Baker.
Lawyer.
Oh. Lawyer, yeah. Good. Adventurer. Owner. What about OR?
Doctor.
Sailor. Actor. TION.
Station.
Transaction.
Absorption.
Invention.
Redemption.
Adoption.
Okay.
SION. For example, conclusion.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention earlier. all I heard was ION, but you're making a difference between TION and SION, yes?
Okay. Yeah, now I am.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. I wasn't paying attention. Attention is TION, by the way. SION?
SION, like.
Sorry.
Conclusion.
Tension.
Admission. Confusion.
Yes. Which is what I'm suffering right now.
And what about ATION, another common suffix, ATION?
Liberation.
Organization. Abbreviation.
Fraternization.
Imagination and radiation. And finally, ITION, for example, repetition.
Fruition.
Composition.
Competition.
Ambition. Proposition. Yeah. Okay, those are nouns. Let's look at some adjectives. Adjectives that you can think of.
But whoa, hold your horses there.
You're gonna try and get me back, are you?
No, not at all. But I just want more. I want more suffixes. We didn't talk about ship.
Ship. Okay, ship.
Friendship.
Relationship.
Yeah. Friendship.
Internship.
Right. No. Now we're running out of ideas.
Now we're running out of ships.
Did we do meant?
Yes, that was your first one. Any others?
What about T-Y or I-T-Y?
I-T, okay.
University.
IT. So we're doing ITY.
Okay.
University.
Fraternity.
Serendipity, is that a word?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. City.
Titty.
Oh, now you've just got us an X certificate, Craig. You've just got us an X certificate.
Witty. Witty.
Oh, is that what you said? I misheard you.
I said witty.
I misheard you, Craig. I thought I heard something else.
Miss here. That's another one with M-I-S.
Did we do A-N-C-E? Maybe we did. My memory's going. Relevance.
A-N-C-E. Relevance. Occupants.
Yeah.
Deliverance.
Mm-hmm. What about E-N-C-E? Independence. Or dependence. What's the difference in the pronunciation between A-N-C-E? And E-N-C-E.
Absolutely nothing. It's with the schwa, which is the in English. So it's independence. And there's no difference in the difference between in the spelling of O-R at the end as a suffix and E-R.
Like teacher, doctor?
Teacher, professor, doctor. Mm-hmm. The same pronunciation.
How do you know if you spell the word ending A-N-C-E or E-N-C-E?
You have to learn it. And sometimes I actually make a mistake with that. Mm-hmm. But you have to learn it and remember it. A good way to study is to group these words and write them out in separate lists and separate tables so you can classify the A-N-C-E and the E-N-C-E. But we'll speak a little about how to study this at the end of the episode. Let's quickly look at some adjectives that use the following suffixes. For example, I-V-E. Can you think of any? Go ahead. For example, attractive.
Creative.
Addictive.
Constrictive.
And constructive.
As well.
Productive.
You got me.
I've run and ahead. Inventive. It's not fair because I prepared these before.
He's got a list.
What about A-T-I-V-E?
A-T-I-V-E.
For example, I can't say.
Well, we've actually already done some, like creative, for example.
Talkative. Uh-huh. Imaginative, argumentative, and informative. ITIVE.
ITIVE. Yours are hard because maybe I'm too soft in my students. I just usually say, think of IVE at the end, but Craig's going for ATIVE and ITIVE.
It's much harder.
It's good.
You get smaller lists, though, so it's easier to study.
ITIVE.
ITIVE.
Repetitive.
Definitive.
Competitive.
Fugitive. Sensitive. What about A-B-L-E? For example, countable. Mm-hmm.
Countable and uncountable. Capable.
Predictable. Mm-hmm. Enjoyable.
Can I predict your next question? I-B-L-E.
And suitable. The next one is I-B-L-E, Reza.
Wow.
For example, irresponsible.
Sensible.
Convertible.
Reversible.
Oh, you beat me. I have no more. Okay, so how can you improve your word families? Any tips on how to study this? Because what do you tell your students, Reza? How can they improve their word formation?
Think of a word, any word.
Like a root word.
Yeah, right? And try to get as many words related to it as you can of different types. For example, the word educate is a verb, educate. So
education.
Education, educational, educationally, the adverb, uneducated, educated.
Uneducational.
All of that. Educative with IVE, not so common, but it exists. Oh. Educationalist, for example, a teacher. Mm-hmm. Educator, another teacher.
And I think it also helps to make a word table. So, for example, make columns. In the first column, write the verb. Second column, adjective. Next column, noun. Then the adverb. And then classify the words in columns depending on the word class could help you. So, for example, you might have to confuse is the verb. Then confused or confusing because you have two adjectives. Confusion is the noun and confusingly the adverb. So if you separate the words out into columns, it could help you to remember.
Yeah. It's all prefixes and suffixes, isn't it?
It's all prefixes and suffixes. And try to identify the words as either verbs, nouns, adjectives, and adverbs. When you're reading English, for example, try to identify the word class of the word you're reading.
Craig, we've mentioned some prefixes already to make opposites, happy, unhappy, possible, impossible. But there are other prefixes which are not to form opposites. For example, prehistoric. It's not the opposite of anything. Pre just means before.
Exactly. So you have other words that mean before, like prenatal, before birth, prehistory.
Mm-hmm. What about postnatal? What does that mean?
Post means after. Postnatal, postscript, mm-hmm. post office.
Pro-independent. Yeah, post office. No, hold on. You slipped that one in. Post office is correos.
Postman.
The afterman.
Afterman.
Yeah, maybe when they invent some robot, after men disappear, who knows?
What about over?
Overcook.
Overeat.
Yeah.
Overpay means too much.
Too much. And the opposite?
Under. Undercook. Undereat. Underpay. Underground.
If you're pro-independent, what are you?
You are in favour of something or for something.
What if you're not in favour of independence?
Anti.
Can you spell anti?
A-U-N-T-I-E.
Ah, anti-tia.
No. Anti is A-N-T-I. So, for example, anti-fascist.
Mm-hmm. You're against fascists, yeah? Or anti-adhesive pan. A pan where the food doesn't stick. Anti-adhesive.
Well, I would say non-stick.
Oh, non-stick. Yeah. Non. Non meaning not.
Mm-hmm.
Non-stick.
Non-negotiable.
Yeah, you cannot negotiate it. What about by as a prefix? What does by mean? B-I.
Of two.
For example?
Bisexual.
You would have sex with men or women.
Yeah.
Bisexual.
Yeah.
And if you have sex only with the opposite sex? Heterosexual?
Oh, of course. Heterosexual. So what does hetero mean?
A mixture, not the same.
A mixture.
Heteros, not the same. And homosexual, with the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be bisexual, you don't care, male or female. Homosexual, you have sex with people of the same sex. Or hetero, a mixture. Heterosexual, heterogeneous, a mixture of different types of people.
Mm-hmm.
Craig, our podcasts are not run-of-the-mill podcasts. They're special.
What does run-of-the-mill mean?
Run-of-the-mill means lo de siempre, normal.
Ordinary.
Ordinary. Ours are...
different.
Yes, they're in fact extraordinary.
Extra. 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 Meaning more than.
More
extraordinary.
Than. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary. Craig, I'm sure you're very happy now with Angeles, but in the past, I've heard plenty of stories about you. You had girlfriends, but they're not your girlfriends now. So now what should we call them now that they are no longer your girlfriends?
They are my ex-girlfriends.
Ex-girlfriends. Ex from the past, but not
so ex-husband,
current.
Ex-wife, ex-boyfriend, ex-boss.
Yeah. You know, in science they talk about that the spectrum, the range of human vision. Yeah. What's that light that... It's you can't see it because of it's at one end of the spectrum. It's not strong enough, or there's not enough of something in it to see it. There's not enough
ultraviolet.
That's too much.
Ah, micro
infrared.
Infrared.
Infrared light. You know, like what they use for those night vision lenses? Like
yeah, in the army.
In the military, they're infrared.
Infrared.
Yeah, so infra means very, very low or too low. Or ultra, the opposite, too high, like an ultra-nationalist, extremely nationalist, or ultraviolet light. Ultra, very extreme.
And then we've got macro and micro. Macro is very, very small. So you have a microscope. Microorganism,
microbiology,
micro advertising. I think that's a word.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And the opposite would be macro. So
macroeconomics.
Macroeconomics. Yeah.
About whole government systems.
Oh, and hyper.
Hyper. Good.
Hypermarket is a very big supermarket. Hyperactive.
Even bigger than super, which is another one.
Yeah.
So super is really big, but hyper is even bigger than super.
Enormous.
Yeah.
Any other examples with hyper? Hyperactive.
Yes.
Hypersensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Hypertension.
Mm-hmm. All meaning too much. Too much. What about sub?
Under. Submarine.
Submarine.
Substandard.
Substandard. Or
submission.
Craig thinks this of me when I keep talking about Mickey Mouse, etc. He thinks, oh, this guy is subhuman. Always the same. He's somehow less than human. He's subhuman species.
Yeah.
Always with the same jokes. Or maybe he thinks I'm only half human. Another one. Half.
Half.
A glass, which is 50% full, is half filled.
Mm-hmm.
Reza sometimes appears only half human.
I thought you were going to say half dressed there for a minute.
What about pan? And I'm not talking about a frying pan. For example, if I said...
Peter Pan?
Not even Peter Pan, but a pan Spanish organization. Can you think of any pan Spanish organization?
Okay, so you mean all over Spain. Is Mercadona pan Spain? It's not, is it? It's regional.
No, you can find it outside the Comunidad Valenciana, but let's not give them any advertisement.
No.
I was thinking Aprender Inglés con Resi Cres is a pan national podcast.
It's international, mate.
It's international.
Yeah,
it's
all over the world.
Inter is our next prefix. It's inter.
Inter.
Lots of different nations.
Intercontinental.
International.
Mm-hmm. International. Mm-hmm. Inter Milan.
Can you think of any more, Craig?
I think we've covered most of the prefixes. If you have any questions or comments on this episode, you're more than welcome to send us an email to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. And before we go, just let me mention that there's a lot of help and practice of word formation in our course for Cambridge FCE. You can find that on mansioningles.com, and there's a link in the show notes. So if you're studying for the first certificate exam and you'd like to do our course, go to mansioningles.com. And please show us some iTunes love. Write a review, give us some stars on iTunes, and if you do that, we get recognized and we become more visible on iTunes. More people can find us. So show us some love over on iTunes. On next week's show, we're going to speak about ED endings in past irregular verbs. So if you've always thought how to pronounce the ED at the end of verbs in the past, come and listen next week and we'll explain. Until next week, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye then. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.
Hello? Are you there? Are you still listening? Great! Because I want to tell you that in September, there's a podcast award competition in the UK. It's in Manchester in September. And we want to win the award for the education category for Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. So I want to ask you for a favour. Please could you nominate Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig for the podcasting award for education? You need to go to inglespodcast.com/59 for this episode 59 and click on the Nominate UK Podcasters Awards button. Then you'll need to give your name and your email address and then confirm your nomination in the email they send you, because they'll send you an email back. Thank you very much, and let's hope we win.